May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Not usually a betting man, but I'll make you a gentleman's bet that in 2 weeks' time you're going to come to church and you're going to possibly find a stranger sitting in your seat. There's also a good chance that when you come to church in 2 weeks' time, it's going to be a little bit more difficult to park. There are going to be lots of strangers around the coffee pot, and you may not be able to get your usual seat for breakfast. The reason would be because of all of these people you've never seen before. Well, you might have seen them sometimes at Christmas, because in 2 weeks, it's a Sunday of the resurrection. It's Easter Sunday, and many people feel an obligation to come to church on Easter Sunday, and that's a good thing. They'll come on Easter Sunday, and after this solemn Lenten period that we've experienced, they're going to find that the worship will be glorious, atmosphere wonderful, as we as a community of faith once again proclaim Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. But you know something, as each Easter Sunday goes by, I always feel that if Easter Sunday is the only time that people come to church during Holy Week, there is a lost sense of wonder. And there is a lost sense of glory. And the reason I say this is because so much happens in that week before Easter Sunday that can only heighten the glory, that can only stir the wonder at what it is that God has really done on Easter Sunday in raising Jesus of Nazareth from the dead. And all this begins next Sunday that we call Palm Sunday. At this service, we will gather outside in the garden if it doesn't snow. But we'll gather for the beginning of this service outside in the garden for a service we call the Liturgy of the Palms. That's a joyful day as we as a community of faith relive our Lord's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The words Hosanna, the entry, the pomp and the majesty and the triumph of Christ as he comes into Jerusalem. Next week there's no sermon, you'll be glad of that. But there is a congregational reading of the Passion narrative. That begins our week. Then on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday evening, we're going to gather for a Eucharist and a short meditation as we begin to try to understand, as followers of Jesus, what it was that changed people's cries of Hosanna on Sunday to the cry of Crucify on Friday. Monday evening, we're going to go with Jesus as he visits the home of Simon the leper, where Mary washes his feet with her tears, dries them with her hair. Tuesday, we move back into Jerusalem, where Jesus goes to the temple and he cleanses it, gets rid of the money changers, and says, "My house will be a house of prayer for all nations." And on Wednesday, we gather with Jesus, with his disciples, and read about the betrayal of Judas. And listen to possibly the four darkest words in the Gospels, "And it was night." Thursday has got a name. We call it Maundy Thursday. It's the word we get, commandment. Because that Thursday is Commandment Thursday. The commandment is very simple. Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. That's the night we remember Jesus sharing his last Passover with his disciples. It's also the night that Jesus shared the first Eucharist with his disciples. What Jesus did during that meal was to take a towel and he washed his disciples' feet. That's a menial task. It's done by a servant. But Jesus said, you as followers of me will be known by your servanthood. Love one another as I have loved you. At the end of that service, all of the candles and the books and the vessels will all be taken away from the altar. There'll be no recessional prayer. The lights will be dimmed as we symbolically move with Jesus from the upper room of Eucharist to the Garden of Gethsemane and the trial by prayer. When Jesus gets to Gethsemane, he has only one request of his disciples. He says, will you not wait with me 1 hour? The sacrament will be left on the altar until midnight. People are free to come to the church for their private prayer, private meditation, to honor the request of our Lord. Will you not wait with me 1 hour? On Good Friday morning, we'll begin with our prayers, and at noon, we'll gather with our brothers and sisters of our larger community at Woodford Community Christian Church for the Community Lenten service. At 3 o'clock that afternoon, we'll again gather in the garden, if it doesn't snow, for our Stations of the Cross. And at 7 o'clock that night, we'll gather for a powerful service called Everyone's Way of the Cross. At the end of that service, the church is in darkness. We leave in silence. Jesus is dead. There's a deep sense of loss. There's a death. Holy Saturday, we begin with prayer, and in the afternoon, we're going to gather with our children. We're going to flower the cross and have an Easter egg hunt. And on Saturday evening, we'll gather here back in church. On Friday evening, we left in darkness. On Saturday evening, we gather in darkness. We'll bless our new Easter candle. And then as the congregational candles are lit, by the light of that candle, we are told once more the story of God's love for all of his children and what God is doing for all of his children on that night. We call it the Great Vigil of Easter. It's the first Eucharist of Easter. And that's the night that we once again say the wonderful Alleluias. And as the church comes to light, once more we have the colour and the flowers as it comes back to life. Some people say, why do you have Eucharist on Saturday night? Well, let me tell you. The Jewish day, okay, goes from sundown to sundown. Jesus was crucified at noon on Friday, first day. Sundown Friday night begins second day. Sundown Saturday night begins third day. It's been an ancient tradition in the church to celebrate the first Eucharist of Easter at the Great Vigil of Easter on Saturday evening. And so we gather on Easter Sunday. We celebrate what God's done. 7, 8, 9 and 11 with breakfast at 10. You see, Holy Week reaches its fulfillment on Easter Sunday. Some say we do way too much in Holy Week. Some say we don't see the point of why you do all that. We do it because the more fully that we, as followers of Jesus of Nazareth, enter into Holy Week, the deeper we understand that Jesus did not die just for the fun of it. that Jesus did not die just because his Father wanted him to. Jesus died for every single one of us so that our sins are forgiven and that death is no longer the end, but simply the gateway to eternal life. 4 weeks ago on Ash Wednesday, I invited you to a holy and a solemn Lent. I invite you now to enter Holy Week, beginning with Palm Sunday, and spend some time sharing in those events that can only deepen our understanding of Easter. Amen.